always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But where I kind of land at as far as the, like, OKC is the bar, where do the Lakers reside? I would say that OKC is a 10. They're the best team in the league, one of the better teams of my lifetime, maybe the best run organization, easily the best run organization in the sport. And we'll set the organizational side stuff off to the side here, because that is a very different conversation and one that is kind of muddled with organizational approaches and what I agree or disagree with. Like, that's just, there's nuances there that are going to take some time to kind of sort out. But as far as like basketball team to basketball team, where OKC is, where the Lakers are, where OKC is going to be next year, where the Lakers are. The Lakers, even if you factor in Luka not being there, the Lakers had to play so effing well just to be competitive in this series. And I know that that is the case the further that you move on in the playoffs, that, like, you know, that margin for error shrinks and it shrinks and it shrinks. I remember when I was in high school and I was a freshman in, you know, I was about to be a freshman, and I had a, you know, the very first like lecture we ever got from the varsity basketball coach there at the high school that I went to was this guy explaining to us like windows in basketball, where, all right, let's say rec ball. For most of, like, for the kids who played rec ball their whole lives, what do you know? Your margin for error, let's say it takes up this entire window here, right? So I'll move my finger there, move my finger there. Like, this is, you have all of the margin for error in the world in rec ball from grades 1 through 8. And then, you know, when you get to club, right, it shrinks a little bit. So now you're looking at like that kind of window, right, where it's a little smaller, but like really compared to the level of basketball that you're eventually going to reach in high school, you're still looking at a pretty big window. Frost off, shrinks a little bit. JV shrinks a little bit. Varsity, you're looking at a very small window. And then you know, if you're lucky enough to play in college, that shrinks even further. In the NBA, it shrinks even further. And then in the NBA playoffs, you're looking at, you know, a butthole on a cold day is the window that you're trying to accomplish your goals in. And, you know, OKC is just so good at tightening that window to a point where teams are playing way faster that they're comfortable with. And then when those teams are sped up, OKC is so good at taking advantage of those stops and of those turnovers that it's just, it's a great counterboxer type of approach. And for the Lakers in the series, I think that margin for error, that window that they needed to succeed in, was just too tight for them, you know, and Luka helps expand that window a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, you need guys who can knock down open shots and also defend on the other end and also attack closeouts and also hit floaters and also operate in the mid range and also be connective tissue within a steady offense and also rebound and also do all of these things. And also, by the way, and have the motor to run to the extent that OKC runs. And I think that honestly is one of the starting points that I'm looking for here this Lakers offseason. Positionally, center is my focus. The center position is my focus this summer. But as far as like culture, as far as, you know, building out the kind of basketball that the Lakers need to play, they need to get guys in there who sprint everywhere. You guys heard me with the first guest that we had on there with David talking about how my kids at this age sprint everywhere. The Lakers need to get more guys whose default setting is sprint, whose default motion, you know, gear is sprint. And sorry, it is late. But the Lakers, as they are currently constructed, Luka is a walk up the court type of player. Austin is a walk the ball up the court type of player. LeBron is a walk the ball up the court type of player. And everybody else is going to follow that tone. Rui isn't exactly a get out and run type of player. DeAndre Ayton isn't a rim runner. You have Jackson Hayes, who's more of a rim runner, but I don't know if he's so much a rim runner or if he is that just compared to the type of teammates that he has had at his position over the years. You know, you have like Jared Vanderbilt, who like isn't really a rim runner because the last thing that he wants is to be faced in a situation where he has to finish that layup in transition. Marcus Smart isn't much of a transition basketball player because if he gets out in transition, he's at least just as likely to get his head in front of his face or his head in front of his skis and turn the ball over by playing too fast. And what the Lakers need to figure out a way to do this upcoming summer is bring in the kind of athletes that can execute this type of identity, but also like bring in the kind of guys whose default setting is I go there fast. And they haven't had those kinds of players in a long time. And I think that's the way that today's NBA is played, especially when you get to the playoffs, where you get out in transition and you score in transition before the other team's defense is set. And you do that because if you don't do that and you have to execute in the half court against some of these elite defenses and against playoff physicality and stuff like that, you're going to play entire series in the 90s and you're going to lose because your opponent is not playing their series in the 90s. And that's how this series played out for the Lakers. So I would say positionally, start at center. As far as culture, as far as collective athleticism and motor and stuff like that, they need to get guys who enjoy running, enjoy conditioning. Like, I remember there was this one time I was sick and I missed a day of conditioning. And unfortunately, the other guy who missed that day of conditioning happened to be the best athlete on my varsity team my senior year. And so it's like it's the conditioning that we're doing in the spring to get ready for it was the conditioning that we were doing in the fall to get ready for the winter season. And right by our school was this street that was at a steady incline whole way up. I think it was literally called Short Street. And we would run these sprints up this street. And normally I was like middle of the pack. Shocker, right? To those of you who are watching, honestly, it probably is a shocker that I was ever like even middle of the pack. But normally I was like middle of the pack and that kind of stuff. But the one day that I show up there and I was going to run those sprints by myself, the other guy who showed up there to run those sprints with me was my buddy Art, who was the best athlete on the team. And so we're doing these sprints and Art is just boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like, the fuck, man? Like you could take it back a little bit, right? And I'm like doing everything in my power to keep up with my buddy Art. And it just wasn't happening that day. Like, that guy was just a significantly better athlete than I was. He was dunking. He had been dunking since like eighth grade. And I never dunked until like my senior year of high school and then, you know, into college and stuff. And in high school, when I was dunking, it was with like a volleyball. I only really dunked a basketball in college because, you know, I don't know. But anyway, watching the Lakers athletically against OKC in the series and even against Houston in the series before this, and in a lot of their games against, like, you know, their best competition here moving forward, they look a lot like I did when I was running sprints against Art on Short Street, because they just do not value that kind of athleticism. Now, they finally got somebody like that in Nadeau Theroux, but unfortunately, he can't shoot. Like, he shot the ball twice over the last couple of the games, and both times I'm like, maybe he'll be better as a shooter than Vando. Maybe, you know, and like, the Lakers need to find guys who can shoot, but also have that kind of athleticism and motor. And that's a very difficult thing to do later in the first round from a drafting perspective. So now you got to find other ways to acquire those players. And I think that's going to have to be the focus, aside from the center position, this upcoming summer. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' questions and comments, starting with the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right, so the first comment that we have here, going up to the very top, Justin Tindall writes, new season is over. Do you think Walter's people take over? This roster is maxed out. Need young, fresh blood. Pointless bringing Braun back. I don't think it's pointless to bring LeBron back. I don't know how we could arrive at that being the conclusion from this postseason. That, like, all right, we're finally done here. We can move on from LeBron. He just won the Lakers a series the round before this one and was just their best player in this last series. I'm not ready to just be like, good luck in Golden State. Good luck in Cleveland. Good luck with the Clippers if that's how this plays out. Good luck anywhere else. Just go away. I'm just not going to arrive there. If LeBron decides to hang him up, and if he decides, yeah, I'm going to retire, then so be it. One of, if not the best careers, no, the best career from a longevity standpoint ever. And then obviously one of the two best careers that we have ever seen in the NBA. And if that's how this summer plays out for LeBron, then that's how this summer plays out for LeBron. But if LeBron is interested in playing basketball next year, then the Lakers should be interested in LeBron playing for them at the right number. Now, as far as, like, will Mark Walters' people take over? No. The Lakers, as JJ Redick outlined it at the end of the season, accomplished their goals. They accomplished their goals of improving their win total for last year and advancing out of the first round this year. And you know, as that is the case, and like what they're basically going to do is be like, all right, Rob, what do you got for us? And depending on the job that Rob Pelinka does this summer, that is, you know, going to dictate, you know, the extent to which Rob Pelinka will continue to make decisions about this Lakers team here moving forward. Outside of that, like, you know, we can, I know there's a lot of people waiting for that day. Part of me also is kind of just waiting for the day where the Lakers are just run like the Dodgers. But It took so long for that to be the case with the Dodgers. It took like 3 years, honestly, for the Dodgers to become the Dodgers as we currently see them. And so, like, I think we're probably in year 1.5 of that process. And then depending on how the summer goes, you know, then you get to, you know, you get into the timeline of how long Jeannie and her people get to run stuff. It just is like, so I like in this weird way, the Lakers fans are in kind of a win-win spot where either Rob Pelinka pulls off an offseason that would dictate that he deserves to be back here moving forward, or he doesn't and he's fired. And I think that's basically where we currently stand as Lakers fans. All right, next question here comes from PNT23. Chet Holmgren traveled on his 111 to 110 basket. I just don't really care. Like, the Lakers had a LeBron floater and an Austin relatively open pull-up three to extend this game. They missed their chances. You know you're never going to get, like, the best treatment from referees against this OKC team. So you got to take advantage of the opportunities that you get, and the Lakers didn't. And that's why their season is over. Let's see. Go up here to the top again. Is that going to do it? I think that is going to do... Oh, nope, no, it's not. Ryan Lucas writes, how do they bring back DA and Jake after their benchings? Well, Ayton, it's not really completely up to them, right? He could be like, well, screw you guys. You guys benched me. I don't want to be here next year anyway. Fuck you guys. I'm going to go to a different state where weed is legal. I don't think that's how this is probably going to play out. I think he's probably a Laker next year. And if the Lakers want to be a championship contender, he cannot be your starting center. So we'll see how that plays out. As far as Jake goes, look, he's young. I think he knows that he developed kind of the yips from, a shooting and offensive perspective. And if he had paid any attention to JJ Redick's coaching over the course of the season, he would have kind of recognized that that is the one thing he could not afford to do is stop producing offensively. And he did just that, and he stopped playing. So I think Jake is self-aware enough to understand what went into those decisions. And hopefully he works his ass off this summer, improves as a shooter, comes back next year as a viable threat from that spot, and comes back next year confident enough to remain a viable threat no matter the situation. And if he doesn't, then he's $6 million of young, expiring, productive money to some team out there. So that's how that plays out. As far as Ayton goes, though, oh well. Like, if he opts out, awesome. If he doesn't, he's your backup. One more super comment on our way out here. Justin Tindall, 4737. Is it positive to sign and trade Austin for a lottery pick? It is. Anything's possible. You would have to sign and trade him. Man, it's like my body is just like, oh, the season's over. And I just keep yawning as a result. Sorry. But you could sign and trade Austin to a team with a lottery pick. That team would either have to have cap space, or that team would have to have a contract in the neighborhood of, like, you know, 35-ish million bucks. Because that's probably what Austin is going to be paid at the very least. And And that way you send out Austin for that $35-ish million player plus that lottery pick. And as far as like what caliber of player you're getting back, you're probably getting back a bad contract. You're probably not getting a player back as good as Austin. And so you're basically hoping that that lottery pick is immediately good enough to bridge that gap between the bad contract that you're getting and where Austin is right now as a basketball player. And that's just, that's a big ask. So the Lakers' best chance probably, or like easiest path forward is to pay Austin a reasonable enough number on a reasonably long enough number, contract to still be interesting as a trade piece going into the summer or going into the season. Or, you know, you pay him and he continues to improve and you wind up not regretting the contract. Regardless here, I don't it's possible that the Lakers could do what Justin is asking about. But as far as like probable, I don't necessarily see that so much on the other end. All right, I'm going to wrap this thing up here, edit, post, all of that good stuff. And then tomorrow, I believe it'll be me and Harrison. And then we have to launch our player review series. And then we have to look ahead to the offseason and look ahead to the draft and hate watch some of these teams for the rest of these playoffs. So we will find a way to get you through the rest of this and this NBA season content wise. And then this summer, you're going to want to subscribe. You're going to want to, you know, turn on notifications because you have live breaking stuff that we will be breaking down here on the channel. I'm going to be doing more reporting, obviously, as we get to that part of this summer as well. So, also, heartfelt message time, I guess. I'm going to try not to get emotional here, but this is the first time in my career, or at least it's the first time in the last couple of years, where I am standing on 2 feet and can really see like a bright future ahead. And it is only because of your guys' support that that is the case. And so and when I say you guys, it's Harrison, it's Raj, it's our producer Brian, it's Pete, it's Jovan, it's my bosses at Odyssey, it's Jen, it's the kids. It's this really cool spot that has taken a lot of work to get to. You know, you get laid off from Vox as I was a couple of years ago. And, you know, my first instinct was, all right, well, I have friends at Blue Wire. Let's go ahead. Let's go over there. We'll make that work. And it didn't, you know, for one reason or another, it just did, you know, that wound up not necessarily being the move for us. You contact Odyssey and you're like, hey, is there anything like, what do you guys think you can do with the show? Well, here we're introducing clipping in a podcast form. We're introducing this. You can use some production to kind of pay the bills in the meantime while we get your show up and running. And they were just so incredible in doing that. I asked them, hey, my show makes enough to where I should be able to get a full-time salary off of this. They're like, sure, yeah, we'll figure out a way to make you full time. Let's try that. Do that for a year. That didn't necessarily work out for me. And I said, hey, I know that you guys, you know, worked the way that you did to make me full time. I think it's best if I am a contractor so that I could pay people and grow the show that way. And they were flexible enough to do that. YouTube became this really important thing. So I started asking you guys, hey, subscribe to the show on YouTube. You guys did that. I am just perpetually blown away by the support that you guys continue to share or to show me. And I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. And I'm going to be in Vegas for Summer League. I'm going to spend some time back home. Hopefully here, not just in the summer, but moving forward on a more regular basis because of some stuff that I'm hoping to get in the works here moving forward as well. And if you guys ever see me, man, say, hey, I'm a fan of the lounge. I will buy you whatever drink or coffee or what food that you're paying for that day. I just love you guys that much. You guys have been so incredible to me and my family and this little community that this show has become. You guys are the best. I'm just blown away constantly at how incredible you guys are. So, successful season, hopefully a successful off season, and hopefully a championship contending team next year. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. I love you. Have a good one.